Cardiovascular system, human histology. The cardiovascular system consists of the heart and of blood vessels. The blood vessels that take blood from the heart to various tissues are called arteries. The smallest arteries are called arterioles. Arterioles open into a network of capillaries that pervade the tissues, that is, supply blood to the tissues. The vein returns the blood to the heart. The endothelium. The internal surfaces of the heart and of all blood vessels are lined by flattened endothelial cells, also called endotheliocytes. Adjoining endothelial cells are linked by tight junction and gap junction. Externally, the endothelial cells are supported by basal lamina. Functions of the endothelial cells include: provide a smooth internal lining to blood vessels and to the heart. Endothelial cells are sensitive to alterations in blood pressure, in blood flow, and in oxygen tension in blood. They secrete various substances that can produce vasodilation by influencing the tone of muscle in the vessel wall. They provide factors that control coagulation of blood under normal conditions. Clotting is inhibited. When required, coagulation can be facilitated. Under the influence of adverse stimuli, example by cytokinin, endothelial cells undergo changes that facilitate passage of lymphocytes through the vessel wall. In acute inflammation, endothelium allows neutrophils to pass from blood into surrounding tissues. Under the influence of histamine produced in allergic states, endothelium becomes highly permeable, allowing proteins and fluid to diffuse from blood into tissues. The resultant accumulation of fluid in tissues is called edema. Arteries. Basic structure of arteries. The wall of an artery is made up of three layers. You have the innermost layer, which is called the tunica intima. You have the tunica media, which is the middle layer, and the outermost layer is called the tunica adventitia. Now, the innermost layer, which is the tunica intima, consists of an endothelial lining, a thin layer of glycoprotein, which lines the external aspect of the endothelium and is called the basal lamina. It also has a delicate layer of subendothelial connective tissue of a membrane formed by elastic fibers called internal elastic lamina. The tunica media consists predominantly of elastic tissue of smooth muscle. Some connective tissue is usually present on the outside. The media is limited by a membrane formed by elastic fibers. This is the external elastic lamina. The outermost layer is called the tunica adventitia. This coat consists of connective tissue in which collagen fibers are prominent. This layer prevents undue stretching or distension of the artery. The fibrous elements in the intima and the adventitia, mainly collagen, run longitudinally, that is, along the length of the vessel, whereas those in the media, which is the elastic tissue or muscle, run circularly. Elastic fibers, including those of the internal and external elastic lamina, are often in the form of fenestrated sheets, and fenestrated means having holes in it. Based on the kind of tissue that predominates in the tunica media, arteries are often divided into two. You have the elastic arteries and the muscular arteries. Examples of elastic arteries include the aorta and the large arteries supplying the head and neck, carotid and limb, subclavian, axillary, and iliac. Examples of muscular arteries: all other arteries apart from the ones mentioned above are muscular arteries. The difference between the elastic arteries and the muscular arteries. The adventitia of the elastic artery is relatively thin with greater proportion of elastic fibers. The adventitia of the muscular artery consists of thin layer of fibroelastic tissue. The media of the elastic artery is made up of mainly elastic tissue in the form of fenestrated concentric membranes. There may be as many as 50 layers of elastic membranes. The media of muscular artery is made up mainly of smooth muscles arranged circularly. The intima of elastic artery is made up of subendothelial connective tissue, endothelium, and the internal elastic lamina. The subendothelial connective tissue contains more elastic fibers. The internal elastic lamina is not distinct. The intima of the muscular artery. The intima is well developed, especially internal elastic lamina, which stands out prominently. The elastic arteries are also called conducting vessels, as their main function is to conduct the blood from heart to the muscular arteries. While the muscular artery has the ability to alter the size of its lumen by contraction or relaxation of smooth muscle in its wall, muscular arteries are also called distributing arteries. While diastole and systole influences the pressure of the elastic arteries or the conducting arteries, the contraction and relaxation of the smooth muscles of the muscular arteries controls the amount of blood flowing into the regions supplied by them. What distinguishing factor in the tunica intima can you use to differentiate the elastic and muscular artery? This is the answer. In the elastic artery, the internal elastic lamina is not distinct from the media, but in the muscular arteries, the internal elastic lamina is distinct from the media. Examples of arteries that involve in repeated stretching or bending: you have the coronary artery, the carotid artery, axillary artery, and palmar arteries. The most common disease of arteries include atheroma, in which the intima becomes infiltrated with fat and collagen. The thickenings formed are atheromatous plates. Damage to endothelium can induce coagulation of blood, forming a thrombus, which can completely obstruct the artery. When this happens in an artery supplying the myocardium, that is the coronary thrombosis, it leads to myocardial infarction, manifesting as a heart attack. In the brain, in the case of cerebral thrombosis, it leads to a stroke and paralysis. An artery weakened by atheroma may undergo dilation, aneurysm, or may even rupture. Arteriates. Generally, the larger muscular arteriates have diameter of 100 to 50 micrometer. Terminal arteriates have diameter less than 50 micrometer. Arteriates are the main regulators of peripheral vascular resistance. How the muscular arteriates differ from true arteries? By their small diameter, they do not have an internal elastic lamina. Terminal arteriates can be distinguished from muscular arteriates as follows. They have a diameter less than 50 micrometer, the smallest terminal arteries having a diameter as small as 12 micrometer. They have only a thin layer of muscle in their walls. They give up lateral branches called metaarteriates to the capillary bed. The initial segment of each lateral branch is surrounded by a few smooth muscle cells. These muscle cells constitute the pre-capillary sphincter. It is this sphincter that regulates the flow of blood to the capillaries. Types of arteriates include the muscular arteriates and the terminal arteriates. Capillary. The average diameter of a capillary is 8 micrometer. Mention the types of capillary. We have the continuous capillaries, the fenestrated capillaries. Explain the continuous capillaries. The edges of endothelial cells fuse completely with those of adjoining cells to form a continuous wall in the case of continuous capillaries. How are substances transported in the continuous capillaries? The presence of numerous pinocytotic vessels in the cytoplasm. Transport through intercellular material separating adjoining endothelial cells. Continuous capillaries are seen in the skin, connective tissue, muscle, lungs, and brain. Explain the structure of a capillary. The wall of a capillary is formed essentially by endothelial cells that are lined on the outside by basal lamina, which is glycoprotein. Overlining the basal lamina, there may be isolated branching perivascular cells known as the pericytes, and a delicate network of reticular fibers and cells. Pericytes or adventitious cells contain contractile filaments in the cytoplasm and can transform into other cells. Explain the fenestrated capillaries. In some organs, the walls of capillaries appears to have apertures in their endothelial lining. These are therefore called fenestrated capillaries. Examples of places or organs where fenestrated capillaries are seen include the renal glomeruli, intestinal villi, endocrine glands, pancreas, sinusoids. Sinusoids are found typically in organs that are made up of cords or plates of cells. These include the liver, the adrenal cortex, the hypophysis cerebri, that is the pituitary, the parathyroid glands, spleen, bone marrow, the carotid body. Give one difference between capillary and sinusoids. Sinusoids have a broader lumen, about 20 micrometer, than capillaries. Explain the structure of the sinusoids. The wall of a sinusoid consists only of endothelium, supported by a thin layer of connective tissue. The wall may be incomplete at places so that blood may come into direct contact with tissue cells. Veins. How does the vein differ from the arteries? The wall of a vein is distinctly thinner than that of an artery, having the same sized lumen. The tunica media contains a much larger quantity of collagen than in arteries. The amount of elastic tissue or of muscle is much less. Because of the differences mentioned above, the wall of a vein is easily compressed. After death, veins are usually collapsed. In contrast, arteries retain their patency. In arteries, the tunica media is usually thicker than the adventitia. In contrast, the adventitia veins is thicker than the media, especially in large veins. In some large veins, e.g. the inferior vena cava, the adventitia contains a considerable amount of elastic and muscle fibers that run in a predominantly longitudinal direction. These fibers facilitate elongation and shortening of the vena cava with respiration. This is also facilitated by the fact that collagen fibers in the adventitia form a meshwork that spirals around the vessel. A clear distinction between the tunica intima, media, and adventitia cannot be made out in small veins, as all these layers consist predominantly of fibrous tissue. Muscle is conspicuous by its complete absence in venous spaces of erectile tissue, in veins of cancellous bone, dural venous sinuses, retinal veins, and placental veins. Valves or veins. Each valve is made up of how many semilunar cups? We have two. Each cup is a fold of endothelium within which there is some connective tissue that is rich in elastic fibers. Mention veins that do not have valves in them. We have small veins, in veins within the cranial cavity or within the vertebral canal, in the vena cava, and in some other veins. Flow of blood through vein is assisted by contractions of the muscle in their walls, contraction of surrounding muscles, especially when the latter are enclosed in deep fascia. What is varicose veins? These are permanently dilated and tortuous superficial veins of the lower extremities, especially the long saphenous vein and its tributaries. Venous. The smallest veins into which capillaries drain are called venous. The diameter of the venous is 20 to 30 micrometer. The walls of the venous consist of endothelium, basal lamina, thin adventitia consisting of longitudinal running collagen fibers. Small venues are called postcapillary venous. Large venues are called muscular venues. Flattened or branching cells called pericytes may be present outside the basal lamina of small venous called postcapillary venous. How does the venous differ from veins? The walls of venous, especially those of postcapillary venous, have considerable permeability and exchanges between blood and surrounding tissues. can take place through them. In particular, venules are the site at which lymphocytes and other cells may pass out of or into the bloodstream. Blood vessels, lymphatics, and nerves supplying blood vessels. The walls of small blood vessels receive adequate nutrients from blood in their lumen. The walls of large and medium-sized vessels are supplied by small arteries called vasa vasorum, literally vessels of vessels. Singular is known as vas vasis. What part of the wall does their vessels supply? These vessels supply the adventitia and the outer part of the media. The nerves of blood vessels are unmyelinated. Most of the nerves are vasomotor and supply smooth muscle. Their stimulation causes vasoconstriction in some arteries and vasodilation in others. Some myelinated sensory nerves are also present in the adventitia. Mechanisms controlling blood flow through the capillary bed. Blood supply to relatively large areas of tissue is controlled by contraction or relaxation of smooth muscle in the walls of muscular arteries and arterioles. Control of supply to smaller arteries or smaller areas is effected through arteriovenous anastomosis, precapillary sphincter, and thoroughfare channels. Now let's consider the arteriovenous anastomosis. In many parts of the body, small arteries and veins are connected by direct channels that constitute arteriovenous anastomosis. These channels may be straight or coiled. Their walls have a thick muscular coat that is richly supplied with sympathetic nerves. When the anastomoses are patent, that is open, blood is short-circuited from the artery to the vein so that very little blood passes through the capillary bed. However, when the muscle in the wall of the anastomosing channel contracts its lumen, it's occluded so that all blood now passes through the capillaries. Arteriovenous anastomoses are found in the skin, especially in that of the nose, lips, and external ear, and the mucous membrane of the alimentary canal and nose. They are also seen in the tongue, in the thyroid, in sympathetic ganglia, and in the erectile tissues of sex organs. Arteriovenous anastomoses in the skin help in regulating blood temperature by increasing blood flow through capillaries in warm weather and decreasing it in cold weather to prevent heat loss. In some regions, we see arteriovenous anastomoses of a special kind. The vessels taking part in these anastomoses are in the form of a rounded bunch covered by connective tissue. This structure is called glumus. Each glumus consists of an afferent artery, one or more coiled connecting vessels, and an efferent vein. Blood flow through the glumus is controlled in two different ways. Firstly, the wall of the afferent artery has a number of elevations that project into the lumen and probably have a valvular function. These projections are produced partly by endothelium and partly muscle. Secondly, the connecting vessels have thick muscular walls in which the muscle fibers are short and thick with central nuclei. These cells have some resemblance to epithelial cells and are therefore termed epithelioid cells. They have similarities to pericytes present around capillaries. The lumen of the connecting channel can be occluded by contraction or swelling of epithelioid cells. Glomeruli are found in the skin at the tips of the fingers and toes, especially in the digits, in the digital pads and nail beds, in the lips, the tip of the tongue, and in the nose. They are concerned with the regulation of the circulation in these areas in response to changes in temperature. Arteriovenous anastomoses are few and inefficient in the newborn. In old age, again, arteriovenous anastomosis of the skin decreases considerably in number. These observations are to be correlated with the fact that temperature regulation is not efficient in the newborn as well as in old persons. Let's look at the microcirculatory unit, which is the precapillary sphincter and the thoroughfare channels. Arterial venous anastomosis control blood flow through relatively large segments of the capillary bed. Much smaller segments can be individually controlled as follows. Capillaries arise as side branches of terminal arteries. The initial segment of each such branch is surrounded by a few smooth muscle cells that constitute a precapillary sphincter. Blood flow through any part of the capillary bed can be controlled by the precapillary sphincter. In many situations, arterioles and venules are connected, apart from capillaries, by some channels that resemble capillaries but have a larger caliber as diameter. These channels run a relatively direct course between the arterial and venule. Isolated smooth muscle fibers may be present on their walls. These are called thoroughfare channels. Now let's consider the heart. The heart is made up of three layers. The endocardium, that is the innermost layer, it corresponds with the tunica intima of blood vessels, is also formed the valves of the heart. We have the myocardium, which is the thick layer of cardiac muscle. And we have the epicardium, which is the visceral layer of serous pericardium. The Purkinje fibers of the conducting system of the heart are chains of cells united by desmosomes. Intercalated discs are absent. These cells have a larger diameter and are shorter than typical cardiac myocytes. The end.